Our scripture lesson comes from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. It was a not too warm day in the early summer in Altus, Oklahoma. The windows were open, so it was easy to hear him, even though he was still half a block away. Mom! Mom! Mark Andrew, our son, had been out playing with his friends, and as usual, he was barefoot. And already, you know what happened. He discovered one of the great truths of nature, one of the great equations of human existence. Bare feet and one honeybee equals pain. And so what does he do? He runs home, yelling the whole way, Mom! Mom! He comes crashing through the kitchen door, and now remember, he stepped on a bee and got stung, but yet he was running home as fast as he could, using both feet. And that means that he responded to the pain on his foot by immediately running on it. And just like you'd expect, the stinger was long gone by the time he got home. So why did he do it? Why do all kids do it? Why do all of us want to do it sometimes? Run home as fast as we can. They say one of the loveliest words in the English language is home. That's not really surprising, whether we remember in warm light pouring out through the window on a dark night, or simply the walls that hold out the wind and rain of a storm. Home is a beautiful word. At least it brings back beautiful memories. Home is where you run when you are hurting. Even now, all we have to do is close our eyes and our memories wrap us in a big hug and set us down to a cold milk and fresh baked cookies at home. Jesus knew that. He had been a kid once. He had not transformed instantly from baby to full-grown Savior with only a momentary stop at the age of 12. No, he had been a kid for years. In fact, more years than he would be an adult. And so he knew about home. The afternoon was bright and sunny. The world seemed happy and like a wholesome place. The boy skipped along under skies that he had made. He jumped over rocks that he himself had formed. But that was far from his mind now. He was playing, and Jesus really knew how to play. He ran to the top of a little hill, and he pretended that he was Judas Maccabee, scouting out enemy positions. He watched a bird float effortlessly across the sky, and if he thought about it, he could have brought out those strange memories of how that wing had been formed, and the dynamics of motion and lift that made it all work so well. But he was a kid, and he did not need to understand it at the moment. He just needed to watch it. Sometimes he moved rocks, and he watched the small insects scrambling for cover under the sudden glare of the afternoon sun. He'd bend close, the smell of the soil filling his senses. The tiny ants were scurrying hurriedly below. Some were carrying the small white eggs of the next generation of ants. Others were just running, bumping into each other, climbing over each other, so afraid, so small, so crowded, and yet so very alone. It reminded him of something else. A single tear dropped from his cheek to the dry earth. Ah, but there would be enough time for tears and enough tears for all time later. Now was the time for childhood. He gently put the stone back in place and he turned to skip on toward another adventure. Behind him, a seagull called out and he turned to watch it fly. He never tired of the beauty of this wonderful, magnificent world. And as he looked behind him, he took another step on the soft, grassy ground, and his foot jerked back before his mind even felt the stab of pain. He had stepped on something, something hot and sharp. He danced back a step or two, holding his foot. There was the small part of a bee still attached to the bottom of his bare foot. The stinger must still be inside, in his foot, piercing him. The one who would one day endure the pain of nails and thorns was for now just still a child. And tears poured down his face and he turned to run home. Mom! He started crying out long before Mary could possibly have heard him. He limped for a few steps only to give way to the fear and break into a full run. Mom! Like a little boy with a stinger in his foot, he is now driven by something much deeper than just the little stab that he felt once. Mama! He's hurting. He's afraid. He's alone. And more than anything in the world, he needs to find his way back home. What is it, Jesu? Mama, I stepped on a bee. Well, the last phrase was smothered in his mother's robes as he threw his arms around her. Mary wrapped her arms around him and held him close. So close that she could feel his heart pounding inside. No more words were spoken between them. None were needed. Slowly, the pounding of his heart lessened and the sobbing faded. Still, Mary held her arms tight around the firstborn son. The housework could wait. Well, everything could wait. Finally, Jesus relaxed and let his arms fall gently to his side, and Mary pulled the corner of one of the folds of her robe and carefully wiped the tear-streaked face. The eyes of her son looked up from the ground into hers, and just the hint of a smile came across the trusting, youthful face. Now let's have a look at that foot, shall we? Be careful, Mom. Don't hurt it. Why, look here, Jesu. The stinger's all gone. You must have knocked it out when you were running home. Silly child. And then he laughed. They both laughed. And then she pulled him tight once more, feeling his young heart beating against her. How she wanted to hold him forever, shielding him against the ominous and uncertain future. But outside the open window, a bird was chirping in the late afternoon sun. And even as he hugged Mom again, he peeked around from her robe. And he watched the little bird sitting on the nearby hilltop. Maybe, he thought, with a grin coming back to his face, maybe there's still time for a little more play before supper. Now, Jesus was indeed a child. But he was not a silly child. No child, you see, is silly who runs home when they are hurting. They're not even silly to keep on running long after the stinger has fallen away and the pain is more remembered than felt. Because home is where you run when the world becomes a fearful and dangerous place. Home is where you are met with hugs. And tears are gently wiped away, and you are surrounded by the sweet, sweet smell of love. Jesus, tall and tanned and tired now, looked around the drab little room at the men who had followed him most of these past 3 years, John and Thomas and Matthew, and of course, laughing loudly in the corner was Peter. The place seemed adequate enough for the purpose. The table was spread with the elements of the Passover, and they were all carefully laid out. The oil lamps filled the scene with a kind of warm and gentle light. The distinctive smell of baked matzah and roasted lamb saturated the room with an aroma that brought back memories of other Passovers, memories of Nazareth, memories of home. Home. They needed to be told. So he cleared his throat, and the conversations in the room faded into silence. For just a moment, he looked around, and he looked at each one of them. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many places to live, and if this were not true, I would have told you so. Now for the hard part. I have to go away. A few eyes glanced around in surprise and confusion. Others just looked toward the floor, trying to hide the fear that they suddenly felt. Yes, I have to go away to prepare a place for you, but if I go, I will come back for you, each one of you. And I'll come back with you for you so that we can be together forever at home. Now they would need this promise of a waiting home. The world is really not such a beautiful and lovely place as it appears through the eyes of a child. Suffering and loss and discouragement weave a kind of pattern through much of our lives, as it would for those men who gathered with Jesus in that upper room. Fox's Book of Martyrs records that Matthew was killed with an axe. Thomas was thrust through with a spear. Philip was whipped and then crucified. For each of them, these words of home must become central in their hopes and dreams. Home that is more than a memory of something past, but a promise of something future. An absolute promise that tomorrow, some tomorrow, when there are no more tomorrows, that we'll finally be home. This hope, this tomorrow, reaches in today and changes people. Strange things happen. Old people laugh like children. Tired people find new strength. Weary people mount up on wings like eagles, and we somehow find ourselves homesick for a place that we've never been. Look at the songs of our great-grandparents' generation left for us to sing. There's a land that is fairer than they. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Beyond the sunset, oh glad reunion with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting beyond the sunset forever. They remembered where they had never been. They remembered what they had never experienced. They remembered tomorrow as fervently as some of us remember and hang on to yesterday. Some of you have been walking along and stepped on a bee. Maybe not a honeybee, but you've felt another kind of stinger. You've lost a loved one. You've buried a child. You've seen your marriage disintegrate, or people you love get hurt. The stingers that pierce our hearts are so much deeper and more painful than stepping on a bee. We pull back in pain. We try to hold back the tears, and we feel inside us that urge, that eternal urge to run home as fast as we can and bury ourselves in hugs and be surrounded by the sweet, sweet smell of love. And that's just what happened. Matthew ran home just as the blade tore into him. the same place Thomas ran as the spear did its deadly deed. John has run home just as the flames lifted his soul to freedom. Home, where we are greeted by hugs and love, and every tear is wiped from our faces. And slowly, instead of our days being counted as distancing us from our births, they become and begin to be counted as nearing us to our home. Long before we ourselves are brought there, the overwhelming certainty of it somehow allows us to endure the things which we had thought unbearable. Like a child with a stinger in their foot, finally cresting the last hill and coming at long last within sight of home. And just as they got there, they looked down at their feet and the stinger was gone. Where, O death, is your victory? Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a flash. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon those pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold and be finally and forever home. Today is homecoming at St. Matthew. For now we are home in the church that we call home. So enjoy this day and know with full assurance that Jesus has prepared an eternal home for you. Until then, remember this place as the place that you call home as you grow up in your faith. Welcome home. Amen.